we inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
Sacred honor is the courage to speak truth, to live out your free speech.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Thanks for joining me on this Tuesday afternoon. Lots of headlines to get to, and also a special guest coming up here in a little bit. Really some good news, by the way. I mean, I know there's always plenty of bad news to talk about. I like to do the good, the bad, and the ugly. Let's hear some of the good, some of the bad, maybe even some of the ugly. But let's focus on the good, because I don't know about you, but I kind of like being in a good mood. I like having some optimism. What's that old song? You got to accentuate the positive. Anyway, there's definitely some ugly out there, and certainly the bad. But probably gonna spend most of the day talking about the good. I'm excited about something that's happening here in my home state of Texas that can impact you, no matter where you live in this country. It has to do with education. We're in the mess we're in because we allowed cultural Marxism to be poured into the minds of our children for multiple generations through the education system, both at the elementary level and at the, you know, higher education level. I used to think it was only higher education, really, that was dominated by the leftists. I knew colleges were a mess and a disaster. That was already happening back when I was in college many years ago. But you know, got worse and worse and worse. And you know, frankly, conservatives refused to take care of that situation as they should have. And it's typically what happens when government takes over something. It's going to mess it up eventually. It's why you only want government doing what only government can do. It's a necessary evil. It's a necessary part of our functioning society. And it's frankly a God-created institution. So I shouldn't even call it evil. It's a necessary evil. It's when it's in its lane, it's not evil. When it's in its lane, when it's doing what it's supposed to do, which is protect your rights, then it's a blessing. It's when it gets out of its lane that it becomes a curse and does become, in fact, evil because it's exercising authority that it does not have. Well, education's a perfect example of that. Whenever education was left up to local areas and to states, it did a decent job. When the feds took it over, it got worse and worse and worse. The Department of Education didn't even exist until Jimmy Carter in the 1970s, and they absolutely destroyed the education system. It's now dominated by leftists. I don't care where you live or how good you think your local public school is. I guarantee you, 100% guarantee you, there are teachers, administrators, and others there that are leftist, that are Marxist, that have bought the leftist. They may not even realize that that's what they are, but they are all for this DEI mantra, and they're all for CRT, and they think you've got white supremacy if you're white, and all this nonsense that has absolutely caused our children to hate themselves, hate each other, and hate their nation. All evil stuff. Well, that education problem has been a long time coming, and unfortunately, conservatives, Republicans, have not been willing to take the big steps necessary. Now, the big steps that are necessary is you have to defund the left by defunding the universities. I think it's insane that we spend so much in terms of tax dollars going to these secondary education institutions. There is no reason for us to be funding these universities that are undermining everything that our country stands for. If people want to go get a college degree, if they want to go get a graduate degree, they should pay for it, not you. If people want an advantage in the workforce or in their career, they should pay for it, not you. We should not be subsidizing to the tune of hundreds of billions of dollars. Even individual states are subsidizing significantly in the billions. It's a huge part of the budget, and it shouldn't be. It's just a waste. Let the market decide what that college education is worth and make the colleges get the price down to where it's affordable. And if it doesn't pay off, people stop doing it, which is what's happening right now. It doesn't pay off. 2/3 of college graduates are doing something that has nothing to do with their degree. Why in the world would you go spend $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 a year on these college degrees? It's foolish. Absolute foolishness, and yet we've indoctrinated our people in this country to think that you're less of a person if you don't have a college degree. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. That you're somehow not worth as much, that you somehow didn't succeed. Parents feel guilty if their kids don't go to college. That is baloney. But what do? We get in a conversation, your kid's 20 years old. Oh, really? What college do they go to? First question we ask, what college do they go to? Every bit of the value we place on a human being starts now with whether or not they went to college, where they went to college, all of that. We got to stop that, folks. It begins with us. It begins with us. We stop valuing a person based on a college education. And then eventually the culture will reflect that. It's actually, I don't know about you, for me, it's actually become the opposite. You tell me you go to Harvard or wherever, you've devalued yourself. I mean, you've subjected yourself to the indoctrination. Now, of course, there's exceptions to the rules, okay? I get it. I mean, there are Ben Shapiros out there that are solid and sharp and all that, and they go into a Harvard and they change Harvard instead of Harvard changing them. Yes, there are exceptions to the rule, but it is the exception to the rule. For the most part, we should not be funding these institutions anymore. Make them prove their worth to the customer, which is the student or the parents that are paying for the education. And then if it's worth it, they'll borrow, they'll save, they'll send them for that education. And then, you know, they'll get a better job, they'll get paid more, and they'll pay that off over 10 years or 15 years or whatever it takes. But it is the proof is in the pudding. And the fact that you know, we're having to ask taxpayers to pay off the education is proof that the education was not worth what was paid. You follow? You with me on this? Or you see where I'm going? If you have to borrow $200,000 to go get an education that then does not increase your earning capacity so that you can pay off the $200,000, the education was not worth it. So who should have to pay that? Who should take the loss? The educational institution, not the taxpayers. The college should be taking the losses for all of these ridiculous degrees that did not pay off. If you go spend money getting your degree in lesbian dance theory, you should have to pay for that stupidity, not the taxpayers of America. Okay, I didn't mean to get off on all that. I don't even know where I was going with all that. Where was I going with all that? I had a point that I was going to make, and I don't remember what it was. But the whole, I know what it was. Good news in education. And then I start ranting about what a waste college education is. Okay, because cultural Marxism has been poured into the kids through, yes, colleges, but now also down to the elementary education, because of that, we've had to try to work hard to improve the curriculum in the classrooms. And one of the areas that we've been working on is to make it possible to once again just teach basic life skills and good philosophy in the classroom. For too long, the CRT, the critical race theory, has poisoned the classroom. It's made kids, again, hate themselves, hate each other, and hate their country. Well, in Texas, we have a really cool thing happening right now. And here's the problem. The terminology was initially coined by people from the left. And so we've got some simple-minded folks right now, in my opinion, they're being simple-minded, that are opposing some wonderful improvements in the Texas curriculum because of the terminology. Because when you look at the actual curriculum, it's amazing. There are so many good things in this new curriculum that the State Board of Education in Texas is about to consider approving that I was blown away. I started reading through this going, man, we've been trying to get this into the curriculum for decades to no avail. I'm talking about teaching the golden rule. I mean, I've been saying this all over the country for the last couple of years. Wouldn't you like to live in a community where people treat their neighbors the way they want to be treated? That's the basic biblical idea of how a society should work. If that permeated our culture once again, if we taught everyone you should treat people the way you want to be treated, and taught them what that looks like, the golden rule, then you would have a massive difference in the way people act in the culture. Well, this curriculum that Texas is considering does that. Puts the golden rule in there, talks about the Good Samaritan, it talks about entrepreneurship and actually highlights it in a positive way. It teaches capitalism in a positive way. Folks, I was having to go testify against textbooks in Texas 30 years ago because they taught socialism, capitalism, and communism are three equal ways to form a society. Moral relativism of the economic systems, which is, of course, foolish. I mean, think about it. Communism and socialism killed 100 million people in the last century. That's not equal to capitalism. Capitalism frees people, saves people. Anyway, this curriculum that the State Board of Education is considering does all of this good stuff. And for some reason, we've got people out there that are actually against this curriculum. One, because it's called Open Education Resource, which means anybody can use it. Anybody can tap into it. It's there for anyone to use, homeschoolers, private schools, public schools. I think that's great. What's wrong with that? Let's use the good and get rid of the bad and the ugly. So that's good, but some people are opposed because apparently some leftist coined that term and initially introduced that concept. Well, I don't care about that. What I care about is what's actually going to be taught in the classroom. Now, are there some mistakes in this curriculum? Yes, like all curriculums. Does it have some places where it says democracy instead of a republic? Yes, that's unfortunate, and we're going to work to change that. And there's a lot of input going on to change that. Everybody, I mean, my goodness, I've produced entire courses on the fact that we're a constitutional republic, not a democracy. So clearly that's important to me. But to oppose this curriculum for some of these small mistakes for the bigger, you know, package, I just think is incredibly foolish. So we need to get this passed in Texas because it benefits you no matter where you are. If you're listening right now in Mississippi or Massachusetts or California, you can access this open education resource with all of these great lesson plans for your kids to be able to learn how to be good citizens, how to treat their neighbors the way they want to be treated, how to be successful, how to have a good economy. I mean, all of these things are fantastic. So I'm excited about this. And I'm going to have on my friend Steve Toth. He's a state representative here in Texas, and he's the one that passed legislation that ultimately led to this opportunity to get this done. And he's going to talk a little bit about this process of getting this approved by the State Board of Education. Now, my understanding is it really comes down to the fact that the schools can draw down some of the state money for education if they use this and if the State Board of Education approves it. If the State Board of Education doesn't approve this next month, then it can still be used, but they can't tap into the dollars that the legislature appropriated. And we all know how this works. I mean, the schools are going to use things that are going to help them pay the bills. I understand that. That makes sense. And so we need to get this passed to the State Board of Education. So if you're in Texas and you're listening right now, I encourage you, listen carefully to this interview and call the State Board of Education and encourage them to adopt this OER curriculum. If you're not in Texas, then I encourage you to still listen and check out the websites that we're going to be giving out in the interview and potentially use the resource yourself. But also encourage your state legislator, or if you have a State Board of Education, encourage them to also adopt this curriculum. It used to be that we would print textbooks. We'd spend hundreds of millions of dollars in Texas getting those textbooks done. They'd get printed. And then other states, we would encourage you to encourage your state to adopt those because we got some of the good stuff in them. Now it's all changed because of the technology. And so it's even easier. They just simply go online, tap into this, print out the actual lesson plan so that the kids are, yes, actually touching paper, not just a screen. And they're, you know, having to actually read and write. That's all good stuff. But also it makes the lesson plans available to parents. There's a lot of good reasons to support this. Again, if you're in Texas, please call the State Board of Education and encourage them to adopt this. I remember one of the first shows I did for At the Core was sitting in the parking lot of the State Board of Education because I was there to testify a couple of years ago where they were trying to get rid of my Celebrate Freedom Week that I got passed here in Texas that we need to get done all over the country. And Moms for Liberty is going to help us do that. But here we are 2 years later, and I'm asking once again for people to go testify at the State Board of Education. Hey, listen, I homeschool. I was homeschooled. Our family homeschooled all four of our children. We're now homeschooling the grandkids. You may do private school. That's great. But 80% of the kids still go through the public school system. And so we should do everything we can to make the public school system less bad. We need to do everything we can to improve it. So you definitely want to listen to my guest that's going to be with me when I come back from the break, Steve Toth. So appreciate you being a part of this. Appreciate you being people of action. Stay with me. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. You're listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
At the Core podcast are available at AFR.net. Now, back to At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wobbin and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Thanks for staying with me. Super excited to have Steve Toth with me, state representative out of Texas, one of the good guys, just an absolute patriot, not a politician. In fact, I think one of the best guys in all of politics, state, local, federal, you pick it. This guy stands firm and does a great job and articulates our values well, and it's just a blessing to have you, man. Steve, thanks for coming
honestly,
on, brother.
Honestly, though, I've just got to say this. If you weren't out there mobilizing the troops, It would be nearly impossible for us to stand. There's, you know, we're going to grow quite a bit this year in the Texas legislature, and you've been a big part of that, huge part of that. I can't thank you enough.
I am so pumped for you and for us as a state. I saw a bunch of the guys at one of the dinners a few weeks ago, and I said, you know, I haven't ever for a long time. I mean, I've been gone 20 years out of the legislature. Like, I've never really wanted to go back because I love what I'm doing. I'm in my lane. I'm where God wants me, right? And I said, but just watching y'all and just thinking about how much fun y'all are going to have this session with all this new blood coming in and
guys like
you that know the ropes.
It's like no other time ever. It's just like
cool.
I pinch myself that I get to be part of this, and we're like, the only thing that could make it more cool is if you were with us.
I wish, man. But I'll keep supporting from out here on the outside. Oh, man. And in fact, that's a great reason to have you on is just, first of all, a general update on kind of the state of the state and the country. I mean, you and I both are, I think, realistic, eyes wide open guys. We don't perfume it up, but we're also optimistic because our joy comes from the Lord, not from what's going on politically. So we, you know, we're optimistic, but we also say, hey, look, here's the challenges, man. Here's what we're facing as a country. So from your perspective, let's talk Texas first. What do you see? And so we got a lot of new people coming in and some real opportunity.
You're seeing a death rattle right now in the speaker's office. It is a death rattle. And
yeah.
No one should be discouraged, dissuaded, and believing that Dave Phelan has a shot at coming back. Too many of his own lieutenants have turned their back on him, knowing full well that you're signing your death warrant if you vote for Dave Phelan on the Texas floor. And there are plenty of good people right now that are talking about running for speaker. All of them have made a commitment that whoever gets the most votes is going to go to the floor. And any support that Dave has from a few errant Republicans, that support's going to blow away, I think.
Yeah.
In the opposition when it hits the floor, there's no way that those guys are going to survive. There's no way that Dave's going to survive.
And that means for our non-Texas friends that may not be familiar, so many good pieces of legislation that were killed last session, you know, because of the speaker and just bad leadership and whoever the new speaker is, the amount of victories in the primary this last time causes whoever this new person is going to be, no matter how great, you know, if they're solid conservative or they're close, you know, they know, right, that they cannot do what he did in killing all that good legislation and survive. So the momentum going into this session is huge.
It is. It really, truly is. There's a lot of excitement from the freshmen. You know, when I came in the 83rd legislative session, we're the second largest class since the Sharpstown scandal, and we had a lot of guys, a lot of excitement, a lot of belief. You know, quoting Esther, "For such a time as this, and if we perish, we perish." Well, a lot of people perished. I can't see another way than that. They didn't stand strong, but we've got a young group of believers that are ready to, they're not just believers, they're fighters, brother.
Yeah.
They're great.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it, man. And I want to say this, you know, when Kara and I got elected and we first went in, I was not a fan of term limits, and I was, you know, I watched so many good people get eaten up by the swamp, and there are very few guys that have been there more than 6, 8, 10 years and held on to their character. For our Patriot Academy fans out there that are part of Patriot Academy, held on to their golf ball, and you're one of them, man. And really, we could count them probably on one hand out of the Texas legislature that have been there for that long and still. standing firm and still have the fire. A lot of it, you just get beat down, right? You just get tired of losing, and you lose the momentum, and you either become furniture or you end up just selling out to the other side. So thank you for not doing that, for standing firm. And I know why. I don't even have to ask you why. You've got a solid, not just a faith in Christ. You live out. You're a biblical citizen. You live out what the Bible says about what the world ought to look like around you, how to treat your neighbor, all of those things. The witness that you've been and the influence you've been on guys like Chad Robichaux and all these other people that are now making a big impact in these other arenas. Me, you've been a great influence on me and on Patriot Academy. So, man, I didn't have you on just to praise you, but people need to know that we have good people in office at the local level, the state level. There's a lot of good people in D.C. that you just never hear about, and you don't see the fights that they're fighting behind the scene. And they need to know you can make a difference in this arena if you're willing to stand firm.
You've got to be willing to stand, though. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's all about your foundation and where it's grounded on. And I honestly, when I got into politics, when I got elected back in 2013, I honestly, this is confessions of a big government Republican. I really thought I was a conservative. And then I started reading Bastiat, the law, and I started really reading the Constitution. And I started reading the Federalist Papers, and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm barely a Republican, let alone, you know, a conservative. And it was
It's like a lot of these kids that come to Patriot Academy and 2 days in, they go, I'm killing my own bill.
Yeah.
Like when they realize the principles versus just the idea they thought, you know. Yeah.
That was it was so much fun working with the kids at Patriot Academy. I love that. And God, I'm so thankful for you guys doing that. It's an amazing, amazing thing. I can't wait to be part of it again.
Well, and Steve, you know, because you work with homeschoolers, private schools, public schools. We've got a real challenge in America with the education system because the poison of cultural Marxism has been there for decades and decades. And a lot of people just give up on and they say, well, we want the public schools to burn, yada, yada, yada. Listen, 80% of the kids are still in public schools, and we have to do everything we can to make the system less bad. We have to improve the system. We have to do everything we can to get good stuff back into the classroom. And you've been working on that and working to say, listen, when a kid comes to a public school, we're paying for it. Public dollars are paying for it. We should be setting the agenda and making sure that there's good stuff being taught, because you go to our Constitution, not just here in Texas, all the state constitutions. You go to the public education section. Why do you have it? At the beginning, to have an informed citizenry. It's all about having good citizens. So let's talk about that. You had to really take the bull by the horns with what's going on in public schools in Texas. And of course, school choice is a big fight coming for you guys as well. We'll talk about that. But just a curriculum fight to make sure that the State Board of Education, who's elected by the people of Texas, can make sure that we've got some good stuff going in the classroom. You fought this one the session before and then last session as well. Tell us what those changes were.
Yeah, so in the 87th session 2 years ago, House Bill 3979, that was my bill, and Brandon Creighton and I got that over the finish line, and it banned the teaching of critical race theory in our schools. And, you know,
which teaches our kids to hate each other and hate their country. And it's a horrible, horrible thing. It's the mechanism by which the cultural Marxism was getting in.
It is. But here's the crazy thing is that we can put that in law, in Texas education code, and yet you still see Democrat members of the State Board of Education that are trying to weasel it into different documents.
Yeah.
And that's really the hard part of it, is that we've really got to go back next session and cut off funding for any ISD that wants to put this hate-filled content in front of our kids, because they're tearing each other up right now, Rick. I mean, it's just awful.
Yeah. Well, it's why the fomented race relation, you know, all the hatred, it's a Marxist idea, right? If we can divide people and make them hate each other, government gets to step in and save the day, and it prevents the people from coming together. It's the opposite, of course, of MLK, right? He said, you know, content of the character, not color of the skin. So we're spitting on his grave when we do the CRT thing. Side note, though, man. What about all of these Fortune 500 companies and these conservative, what we thought were conservative brands, Tractor Supply, John Deere, Jack Daniels, what was the other one? There was another big one I'm skipping. John Deere, Tractor Supply, Robbie Starbuck, Harley Davidson. Yeah. So they all go woke, and now they've all reversed. They've all said, we're getting rid of the DEI. We're firing all those people that were doing DEI. We're going back to patriotism. And it's because sunlight, right? It's the best disinfectant. We showed what they were doing. And Jack Daniels did it just last week before they got exposed. Robbie Starbuck was just about to expose them. So at least in corporate America, we're making some progress because we're using the dollar to say we're taking the dollar away from you. We're not buying from you if you don't straighten this up. A lot harder to do that in the bureaucracies because they're so entrenched. But it's the same fight to get rid of this hatred of each other that CRT causes.
It's embedded in the Texas Education Agency. It's embedded in the State Board of Education. It's embedded in Ledge Council and the Texas Legislature. It's embedded in the staffers that go from office to office to office. Rick, it's like playing whack-a-mole, buddy. It's awful.
Have you read, I'm trying to get her on the tavern, I haven't been able to get her yet, Megan Basham's new book on Shepherds for Sale?
I have not.
You got to read that, bro. I just read it day before yesterday. I finished it. It's in the church, man. It is in the church. These left-wing billionaires funded all of these efforts to come into the church and get these pastors, including Rick Warren and some of the biggest pastors in the country.
Rick has been such a disappointment, bro.
It's in Sunday schools. These people are going to their churches and being told they got white privilege and they're not even allowed to speak in the Sunday school class.
You were born on third base, blah, 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 blah.
It's sick, man. It's sick. It's sick, and it's in the church. It is a disease. It's absolutely a disease. So it is whack-a-mole. So how do you decide which one to hit? I mean, you've got to be going after it all over the place.
So for me, it's weird. When I got elected in the 83rd legislative session, I thought I was just coming to work on behalf of small businesses to keep government out of the regulatory, hurdles that they put in front of small businesses because we create 80% of the jobs in Texas.
Yeah.
But it's like this found me. In the 83rd legislative session, we passed a bill that did away with C-Scope, which was Common Core. But we didn't really do away with Common Core. We thought we did, but we didn't. We didn't. We just opened the door up for Amplify and Pearson and all these other woke online curriculums to come in to our kids. And then again, the wild thing in the 87th session is critical race theory, and it was something that we cared deeply about, but couldn't get any traction with the bill until one day. And this is the backstory for getting House Bill 3979 passed. One day, an evangelical young Christian woman out in California, whose name is Allison Weekly, called her dad Dick Weekly. Does that name ring a bell, Rick?
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Big builder in Houston and the Texans for lawsuit reform guy.
And she called him up and said, Dad, what's with this critical race theory thing? And do you know that there's a state rep by the name of Steve Toth there that has a bill that bans it? And Dad, I'm going to send you some reading material on it. And then all of a sudden, Dick said, Allison, his name is Steve Toth, and I'm going to call him tonight.
And wow.
Rick, I said, Dick, I'm carrying this bill, but my main priority is the gender mod bill. I'm here to pass a gender mod bill. And I said, I'm going to try and pass this. But
meaning, by the way, Steve, for anybody watching that doesn't know what that is, right? You're outlawing these mutilations.
Gender mutilation of our little boys and little girls. I had a bill and Krause had a bill. And this is a totally God thing because I said, Dick, it'll be a God thing if I move off this bill. Well, the very next morning, I found out that they weren't going to consider my bill. They're going to go with Krause's bill. And I called up Dick and I said, this is a God moment where God guides, God provides. I said, you've got me now because they gave my bill to somebody else. And so this has become my major bill now. And he said, it's funny. My daughter Allison says the same thing, that God's really in this, which I don't think Dick's like all that like really religious, and I don't think,
for people that don't know, I mean, his issue is tort reform, and in fact, I've been crossways with him over his support of people that are bad on all the other issues, but they're good on tort reform, right? But God uses all of us, right? And so, and I didn't know this backstory. This is really good. Okay, keep going.
So, anyways, he just gets committed to it, and then all of a sudden, Someone from the Manhattan Institute wrote a story about House Bill 1776, which was a piece of garbage bill, right? And that's what the left always does. They the Patriot Act. I don't like the Patriot Act. Patriot Act is crap. It's not there's nothing patriotic about illegal search and seizure and groping you in the airport. But House Bill 1776 was a garbage bill, and the Manhattan Institute exposed it for the garbage bill, but then said, however, Steve Toth's House Bill 3979 is really a great bill.
Wow. Okay. And by the way, I'm sorry I keep interrupting you, but for our listeners that are familiar, when I say HB 1776, I'm talking about HB 1776, my bill 25 years ago, not the one Steve's talking about now. Yeah. Celebrate Freedom Week was done 1776. I stood in line to get that number back in 2001. Yeah. No, yeah. This was during your session that you're trying to get all this other good stuff done. So this was like a... almost like a Trojan horse bill, right?
It was a total Trojan horse bill.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is that some of the individuals that really love this bill, that were pushing this bill, were like, I was like, why do you think this bill is being sponsored over in the Senate by Democrats? Well, that's because we couldn't get any Republicans to carry it.
Well, that should make
why?
You, yeah. Yeah.
And so what the bill was basically Action Civics. Which they, you know, we all want to teach the kids civics, right?
Right.
But I don't want some pro-choice teacher,
yeah,
to say, I want you to go knock on doors in the Texas House for abortion.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or some BLM teacher to say, I want you to go and knock on doors for Black Lives Matter. You're not going to use my kid and use them to do evil stuff on your behalf. It's not going to happen.
That's right. Right. Yeah, so when yours finally got done, what did it specifically on the CRT thing?
Actually, wait, hold that thought. Steve, got to take a quick break. Everybody stay with me. You're listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. We'll be right back.
At the Core podcast are available at AFR.net. Now, back to At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome back. Thanks for staying with us here on At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. Steve Toth, state representative from Texas, is with us. We're talking about the effort in Texas to get some good curriculum into the public school system. Actually, anybody can use this particular curriculum that's being made available by the state legislature and the state board of education. And so we're just catching up on how this whole process happened. I've been in this fight for a long time trying to get a lot of what this curriculum actually has in it, back into our classroom. So this is a big, big win if we can get it done. Steve, let's pick up where we were right before the break. What did, was your bill first dealing with the CRT thing? Was it to prevent them from using the terminology?
No. See, we didn't go after the terminology. We went after the functionality. We went after the implementation. We went after the structure. We went after all the nooks and crannies in the way in which they implement critical race theory in the classroom without ever using the word critical race theory.
No kidding.
Because that's all they do, right? The left is just, you know, they'll have 5,000 different names for something.
Right, right. And then is that the one where you then had to go fight at the State Board of Education to implement? Once you got the bill passed in the legislature, then the State Board was the one with the TEA setting the policy in the classroom?
No, so here's the crazy thing. Again, these are the really early days of understanding critical race theory, right? And so my bill initially was just history. Well, then we had all these teachers that are like, hey, in English lit class, in science class, in math class.
They put it into everything.
We're seeing critical. Yeah, it's in everything, right? And so unfortunately, the bill was so tight, we couldn't modify it. We couldn't amend it. So we petitioned the governor to come back in special session in July and expand the bill that basically includes all subjects.
Okay. But was that the one I was trying to remember? So this would have been summer of 2022.
21.
So 21 is when you passed it. And then summer of 2021 is when they, when you had to
expand it.
Got it. Got it. Okay.
Amended it.
Okay.
All right, so then fast forward to today and what they're the fight over what's in the classroom, what the curriculum is going to be in the classroom and what the state board is doing. Because you had another bill this last session that essentially – was that your bill that allowed the state board to go back to the curriculum, you know, doing the curriculum guidelines?
No, that wasn't my bill.
Okay.
But 1605 covers that. And so here's the problem. In the 83rd legislative session, Rick, you heard of C-SCOPE, right?
Yeah.
In 2013, right? It was in 80% of the schools affecting 43% of our kids. It was Common Core, meaning math and English. Common Core is math and English.
Okay.
But there was a history component in it as well that taught that the animals that flew planes in the World Trade Towers were freedom fighters, but our founding fathers that poured tea in the harbor were domestic terrorists.
Wow. Yeah.
It taught that oil and gas was destroying America, and that agriculture was destroying America. Well, what are the drivers of the Texas economy? Oil and gas and agriculture.
Right.
Right. I mean, it was just ridiculous. But we got rid of it, and we kind of patted ourselves on the back and believing, hey, we got rid of this awful content, but we didn't replace it with anything. And so schools went out and they just bought Pearson and Amplify woke material, bad stuff, and it's in all of our schools. It's in all of our schools. The books don't exist anymore for the most part
because they're doing everything digitally.
Everything's digital. Look at a 20-year-old when they print because they can't write. They can't do cursive. They can't read cursive. They can't read the Constitution.
Yeah.
But they can't even print because they never learned the fine motor skills that comes with learning cursive, right?
Yeah.
And so what we want is we want to get kids away from these screens and back to content, back to paper.
Yeah.
And so what we've done is we're going to spend $700 million to coax districts back to paper. So this is an online curriculum that they can print the content out, and we're actually giving them money if they will print it out.
I
think this is a good thing.
Yeah, and this is what got me interested is that somebody sent me some of the lesson plans, and bro, I'm telling you, it's stuff that we've wanted to get back in the classroom for decades. Everything from how do you treat your neighbor? Well, you treat them the way you want to be treated. What is that? It's the golden rule. Where's that come from? And then, it goes into the Sermon on the Mount. It's pro-entrepreneurship. It's all of these really, really positive things back into the classroom. And I'm just, I literally, when they sent it to me, I sat in shock as I was reading through it. I was like, this is victory after victory after victory in one fell swoop. And then I'm hearing some people are against it, and I'm going, okay, that's obviously going to be leftist. People are going, no, some of the Republicans are against it because they don't know what it is. They're afraid because it's open. What is it? Open Education Resource. Is that right? OER?
Yeah. Yeah. So go ahead and Google search OER Bible Studies.
OER Bible Studies. Let me see what comes up.
Seriously.
I'm going to do it right now. OER Bible Studies. And the sky is probably falling. Oh, wait. Let's see. OER Commons, Theology Collection Resources, Open Education Resources, Biblical and Religious, Complete Suite.
It's OER. OER basically, it means it's an online curriculum, is all of it. It basically means.
Okay. So what's the opposition? Why are people afraid of it?
Because UNESCO coined the phrase OER.
So just because someone else used the phrase in a negative way, it's like saying water's bad because somebody used water in a bad way, right?
Yeah, someone drowned in it.
Yeah. Well, and just because Bill Gates is a left-wing hack now doesn't mean that everybody threw out their Windows computer. You know, now I'm a Mac guy myself, but I mean, for those that
I know it's just unfortunate, and the stupid thing, but I gotta give our conservatives credit because, you know, the reality is that it's silly to even call it OER because it doesn't meet the qualifications for OER.
Oh, really?
I don't know if they just thought they were smart by half or what the deal is, but Wikipedia's OER is an example. You can go in and you can edit Wikipedia, right? You can't edit this.
Yeah.
It's copywritten and it's protected. You can't change it. Someone out in the class can't can't edit the thing and change it. You know, they can't take letters from the Birmingham jail as an example and remove the Book of Esther, which Martin Luther King was quoting when he said, "If I perish, I perish." Yeah. You can't take the "I Have a Dream" speech that is in this and remove the Book of Isaiah from it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
How it explains all of that as well. I mean, it's stupid.
So if you guys, if the state board is having hearings and such on this, what, how does that work? Like there's 15 of them and they will meet sometime in September, I guess.
I think it's like September 9th or 10th, 9th and 10th. And we need our people to show up.
Okay, gotcha. Because at the hearing, they will decide whether or not to adopt. They get to make the decision on adopting this and making it available to the schools, the local schools. Is that how it works?
No, no. It's Rick, look. Hear this really clearly. HB 1605 is law.
And what is that?
The question is, do we edit it? And the question is, do the schools get the $700 million to implement it? So it's there, the schools can have it, but they're not gonna get $60, $40, and $20 per kid, which enables them to print it out so it's in paper format.
That's what the state board's gonna approve or not approve?
That's what they're gonna approve or not.
Okay, and we know how money affects the equation, right? So if the school doesn't get the money, if the state board votes no, far fewer schools will use it.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct, gotcha. Which means they'll be stuck with the content that they've got.
Gotcha.
Which is bad.
Yeah.
I mean, the kids are actually going to go home with workbooks that are printed by ESC 13. And remember those, is where kids, we had these workbooks and you tore pages out?
Yeah.
Right? Well, they're going to get to do that. They're going to bring those home with them to learn cursive and to do journaling. Journaling. How cool is that,
nice.
Right?
Yeah.
And then mom and dad, if the kid forgot it, or he wants to say, "Mom, teacher didn't send any homework home with me," well, mom's going to get a PDF emailed to her.
Nice.
And she's going to say, "No, here it is right here. I've got the PDF that was emailed to me. Where's your homework?" "Oh, here it is. It's in my backpack."
Yeah.
Right? So none of this, "My dog ate my homework" kind of stuff. But on top of that, too, what's really cool is that they also get discussion questions. Mom and dad will have discussion questions. So like, instead of saying to your kid, "What'd you learn today at school?" "Nothing." "What was your best part of school?" "Lunch, going home." You know, they'll actually have questions saying, "In this class, this is what they went over. And mom and dad, here's some questions you can ask your kids about what they learned today."
That in and of itself. So what's the mechanism for that? Is it the curriculum that's encouraging the teacher at that point that, hey, you need the emails of each of your parents and here's what you send them on this day when they're doing this class? Because I didn't even know they don't typically do that. There's not a lot of parent-teacher interaction. Nobody does the parent-teacher meetings anymore. So this would be really, really good for...
It involves... We want to facilitate mom and dad being more involved.
Exactly. Yeah.
In the educational experience. And then what we also did was it had a portal, you know, so parents can see the content, not just 1605 content, but all the extracurricular content that are used in the classroom above and beyond the curriculum. And so it's just supplemental material. And so there was a portal, parent portal, in the bill, and I amended it to make it obligatory. It's not discretionary anymore. The schools have to.
Yeah.
You've got to show parents everything that you're teaching my kid.
I love that, man. That is, you know, because we fought that in other states and lost where they literally think the state owns the kids, right? And that the parent, the teacher knows better than the parent. And so you're empowering, this empowers the parent to be more involved and know what's happening in the class. And the teacher should want that, frankly. So,
right.
Man, this is all good. Okay, so the action steps are, if you're in Texas, you need to be there September 9th, 10th, whatever it is, at the State Board of Education, by the time we edit this and put it out, we'll put that on the screen and give you the information for how to do that. And then if you're in another state, take this idea to your state legislator and say, hey, look what they're doing in Texas. This is good for education. We should duplicate Steve Toth's bill where he did this. And, you know, that's where the prairie fire starts across the nation, because we need to do good stuff in Texas. But it used to be, you remember how it used to be, if Texas adopted a textbook, all these other states would do it because it costs so much just to do the textbook. Now it's kind of the next generation of that. It's like we're going through the whole process. It's available. Other states could save money and have the victory in their state as well.
Indiana's going to adopt it.
Perfect.
Indiana has looked at this. The conservatives have looked at this in Indiana. And they're like, this is awesome.
Love it.
We love it.
Well, we need to do that
but
all over
the
country.
They can do one more thing. We need people to send emails to the State Board of Education. And we need them to say, please adopt HB 1605 as it is. We don't want to take any Democrat amendments.
Okay, good.
And the Democrats are trying to ruin it. They're trying to put critical race theory in it. I mean, I can only imagine what they're trying to put in it.
Yeah.
I have no idea, honestly, what they're putting in it. But I you know, safe to say it's not going to be good.
Yeah.
But if they just email SBOE support@tea.texas.gov. To say, please adopt HB 1605 as it is, no amendments.
We'll put that on the screen so folks can see it and make it easy. Please send those out, because believe me, the left is mobilized. They are letting their voice be heard. We have to have our voice be heard. There's more of us, but we're too quiet, man. We've been sitting on the sidelines for too long. Got to exercise some courage here, folks. Sacred honor, lives, fortune, sacred honor. This is where you stand up, put your reputation on the line, and be a part of standing in the gap. Steve Toth spending his whole life doing it. The least you can do is do an email. Steve, God bless you, man. Man, I am so appreciative of you.
Blessings, brother. I love you.
Oh, you too, man. What a treat. What a treat to have Steve Toth with us here at the Core. A couple thoughts as we're closing out today, folks. I mean, first of all, just a great reminder, there's good people in public office. There are people that are patriots, not politicians. That's what we always say at Patriot Academy, is we're training up young leaders, constitution coaches, military veterans, candidates for office, that are not politicians. Politicians are only thinking about the next election. What we're raising up and training and equipping and locking shields with are patriots who are thinking about the next generation. And you can tell that just from everything that Steve was talking about. You can tell that from his approach, from what he's accomplished, what's getting done right now at the State Board of Education and in Texas schools. And when you think about the next generation and you think strategically, you don't knee-jerk reaction. I've seen people going against this curriculum for the silliest reasons. I mean, Steve mentioned some of it. It's like, you know, just the terminology, OER, online education resource, was started by somebody that's on the left. And so that just that idea of even making education resources available online somehow is now bad. I mean, I do constitution classes online all the time. It's just absurd. And people that oppose it because there's some mistakes in it. Of course, all curriculum has some mistakes in it. There are some places they say democracy instead of Republic. My goodness, how much do I rant about that? But I'm not going to let that cause me to oppose something that's going to put the golden rule in the classroom, treat your neighbor the way you want to be treated, the Sermon on the Mount, a positive on entrepreneurship. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. These are huge, huge victories of some really good curriculum that I've been trying to get back in the classroom, no kidding, nearly three decades. So let's celebrate this. Folks in Texas, please contact the State Board of Education and encourage them to adopt this and not oppose it. And let's get this done and start turning this culture around and stop turning out Marxists from our public schools and start turning out some good citizens. All right, folks, thanks for listening today. You've been listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.